Central Jersey Talk Radio, Central Jersey 1450, WCTC with the Restaurant Guys. Call them now at 732-545-9282. 732-545-9282.
Hello, everybody, and welcome. You are listening to the Restaurant Guys. I'm Mark Pascal here with Francis Schott. We own Stage Left and Cafe Lombardi restaurants in New Brunswick, New Jersey, and we're here to give you the inside track on food, wine, and the finer things in life. You can listen to us every day from 11 to noon. Reach us through restaurantguysradio.com or download our podcast on iTunes.
Hey, good morning there, Marky.
Good morning, Francis.
Hey, I want to ask our listeners out there who are listening via iTunes or Podcast Alley or any of those sites, we know that we're getting about 50,000 downloads, but I've only got two reviews of us up on iTunes. So if you guys want to just write into iTunes what you think of us, or even, you know, send us an email. Let us know where you're all coming from, because we know where the servers are, but we'd love to hear from where all our people are listening to our show. It's Francis at restaurantguysradio.com, or second best would be Mark at restaurantguysradio.com. And let us know. And that's also if you're listening in the listener area. Our guest later on is going to be a woman named Nina Plank. She was instrumental in setting up the Green Markets in New York City. The company is called Green Market that she set up. She's no longer with them.
So if you've been to Union Square Green Market or
any
of
the
Green
markets
in New York City, you can thank Nina.
It's the largest network of Green Markets in the United States. And she's also set up Green Markets in London. And her new book is Real Food, What to Eat and Why. And it's full of advice on what to eat. And it may surprise you as to her view and the view of a growing body of people on what exactly is healthy, like butter and milk and meat and cheese.
And by the way, for those of us in Central Jersey, if you're going to that Green Market in Highland Park or that Green Market in Morristown or that Green Market in Westfield, these are all pretty much based on
programs. Her success in New York,
right?
On Nina Plank's success in New York.
So she's really kind of fostered this in the Northeast, at least for sure.
And the Green Markets are a great place to go hang out on a Saturday or a Wednesday. We actually still go to the Union Square Green Market in New York City to buy. Oddly, we buy from a lot of Jersey farmers there because it's hard to go from farm to farm to farm and pick up your produce. But we arrange to pick things up for the restaurants. And this, if you own a restaurant, is a very good strategy. Go to these Green Markets. And though it's probably too little for you to buy commercially, you can get to know your local farmer. And sure, maybe he can't send a truck to you, or she can't send a truck to you, or you can't send a truck to that farm. But you can say, hey, listen, you're here at the Green Market every Wednesday? Great, I'll come here every Wednesday. And I'll order in advance from the night before. You order, you know, five flats of tomatoes in season. They'll give you a wholesale price. And you go to the Green Market, and you know every Wednesday, maybe you meet four or five of your farmers at the Green Market.
And for those of you, again, who are listening locally, these Green Markets are available pretty much every day of the week. You can go to the Westfield one, and I'm making days up, but you can go to the Wing Days Up Day, and if it happens to be Wednesday when you need to go to the Green Market, you can go to the one in Summit or lots of other places. And the ability for us to be able to go from farm to table with a lot of these products is a relatively old way of doing business, but it's come back to the fore, and we now have the ability to buy fresh produce directly from our farmers and to utilize these farmers markets. And I implore everybody in this area and all around the country, everybody who's listening, I implore you guys to go to your local farm markets, because that's what's making them come up. Us going to these farm markets is making more and more of them appear.
It's also very social.
Mm-hmm.
And when I lived in Manhattan, I used to go because it was a great place to meet girls. It really is. You can talk about produce and stuff.
Like in the 70s when Marsha Brady used to go to the supermarket to pick up guys?
You know how like the really buff guy is the guy on the beach? He's got it really easy, like walking around with the surfboard meeting girls?
Yeah.
That ain't me. But Green Markets, I'm a superstar. Anyway, want to talk about something different before Nina comes on the show. There was a response to a wonderful article by Michael Pollan in the New York Times that he did about the complexities of modern agriculture. And this is done by a guy, Leonard Giannesi, he's the director of the Crop Protection Research Institute, which is a ridiculous group that talks about their idea is to talk about how good herbicides and fungicides and pesticides are. And we should all not worry. We should spray them everywhere Right. I'm exaggerating, of course. But, yeah, go to this guy's website. He's the Crop Protection Research Institute, the Crop Life Foundation. Sounds all good and warm and fuzzy, doesn't
we'll call
it?
We'll call it the napalm of farming.
Yeah, not my favorite guy. But here's his response to Michael Pollan's article. Michael Pollan gets it right when he writes that organic agriculture's future production will be outsourced to countries where it's cheaper to grow crops without chemical inputs. The reason growing organic crops is cheaper in other countries is the availability of workers at cheap wages to pull weeds by hand out of crops of fields. Pollan suggests that tens of thousands of organic corn acres would be required to meet the needs of a world thirsty for corn syrup. He's wrong there. Tens of millions of acres would be required. A vast expansion in organic acreage will sentence millions of low-paid workers around the world to a life of drudgery pulling weeds. Listen to that sentence. This guy's saying that if we have a lot of organic acreage, it will sentence millions of workers to work on farms around the world.
Oh, no, oh dear.
Instead of having to be unemployed and working in the factories in the cities, they'll have to work on farms in open fields, and small farmers will be more viable.
So you know what'll happen.
What?
All those gyms are going to go out of business because people won't have to go work out in the gym for half an hour. They'll actually get exercise.
Listen to this jerk try and spin things, lobbyist, corporate apologist. Jerk. 70 years ago, almost a quarter of the U.S. He says this is a bad thing. 70 years ago, almost a quarter of the U.S. population lived on farms. Ew. And millions of people hoed weeds all summer. Thanks to herbicides like atrazine, those days are gone. In other words, this guy's saying, way back when, people in America lived on farms. Wasn't that horrible? Thankfully, those farms have all been destroyed by atrazine. Thank you very much, Leonard Gianessi.
Francis?
We don't have any farms anymore, those awful places. Farms.
Can you imagine? I think it's time. We haven't done this for a really, really long time.
Toady Award?
It's time to give out a toady.
The toady award today goes to Leonard Gianessi.
Toady.
It goes to Leonard Gianessi, Director of Crop Protection Research Institute of the Crop Life Foundation, corporate apologist. Thanks to herbicides like atrazine, the days of where most people lived on farms in America are long gone. and this guy's trying so hard to put a spin on this. This is what these guys do all day. It's like, thank you for smoking. You know, see the movie Thank You for Smoking? The guy's like, you know, they talk to you about how cigarettes are, thanks, you know, all those people are dead now, so they don't have to suffer anymore.
Right, less insurance.
Oh, my God. And he talks about how, number one, well, if we have a lot of organic acreage, we'll need farmers in other parts of the world. That's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he talks about how, thanks to modern chemicals, most of the farms in America have disappeared. Super! Those horrible days of hoeing weeds out in the Midwest. It's better that Nebraska's depopulating and people are trying to stay on the farm.
And this letter, by the way, is in New York Magazine. It's a response to an article that Michael Pollan wrote about getting more organic farms and what some of the trials and tribulations that we'll go through as we try and convert more and more of our food to better food.
And there are real issues. And, hey, let's face it, corn is subsidized. And, by the way, those of you who think, oh, well, we have farm subsidies. Your farm subsidies go to huge agribusiness firms. Most small family farms account for a very small amount of the farm subsidies. And corn is so cheap because it's subsidized, because those big agribusiness firms have lobbyists that make the government subsidize corn. If we go to organics and corn becomes less cheap, we'll go back to natural things like sugar, which are probably better for you, and molasses, and real ways of sweetening things. You know, corn syrup wasn't in the American diet in any significant way in 1952.
Mm-hmm.
Go and look on your supermarket shelf and try and buy a beverage for your kids. It's not sweetened with corn syrup. When we come back, we're going to be talking about real food and how you have license to eat all kinds of things that you may have thought were bad for you with Nina Plank, author of Real Food, What to Eat and Why. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:15. Hello, everybody, and welcome back. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Mark and Francis of Stage Left and Catherine Lombardi Restaurants in downtown New Brunswick, New Jersey. Our guest today is Nina Plank. She's created farmers markets in London and Washington, D.C. She's the author of the Farmers Market Cookbook. She's hosted a British television series on local food. She ran Green Market in New York City, the largest network of farmers markets in the United States. And her latest book is Real Food, What to Eat and Why.
Hey, Nina, welcome to the show.
It's my pleasure.
Hey, Nina, what should we eat and why?
I'm so glad you asked. Because I tried to do some homework on real food. You know, I grew up on real food, and then I strayed a little. I decided my mother was wrong about liver and onions and raw milk and egg yolks and all that, so I became a vegan and a vegetarian. I tried non-fat and low-fat and low-saturated fat and low-cholesterol diets. And then I opened these markets in London, and they were full of things with fat and cholesterol in them, like butter and cream and eggs and creme fraiche and pork and
boy, did
beef.
They taste good.
Oh, I had to try them all. I had to try them all. And so when I did, I just felt better and better. I lost 25 pounds, and I wasn't depressed, and
no.
I didn't get colds and flu. So I said, uh-oh, what if the cardiologists are right? Maybe this is all going to give me a heart attack. So I started to do some homework on real food. I decided real food, which we've been eating for a million years, or 30,000 in the case of milk, or 4,000 in the case of raw milk cheese, this is good for you, and industrial food isn't.
I love that you call it real food, because it seems like, and Francis and I talk about this practically every day, it seems like we've strayed from what we'll call real food to this industrialized, packaged, processed food that's supposed to be good for 7 years and sit on your shelf.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you get a ho-ho today, or you go to that same package of ho-hos in 6 years, they're going to taste identical.
And, you know, the problem is not that you have a piece of toast made from real bread with jam made from strawberries, but having a Pop-Tart's a whole different thing. Read the ingredients, you know?
That's right.
And so talk to us about what is industrial food and what percentage of most people's diet is industrial food. How do you define industrial food versus real food?
So real food, well, we've been eating for millions or thousands of years, and industrial food for more like 100. So there's some surprising things on my list of industrial food. Some people won't be surprised. White sugar, right? Recent food. But corn oil, these grain and seed oils, are really only about 100 years old. In 1900, the top fats in the American diet were beef and lard and butter and coconut oil.
Wait a second. You're telling me that lard is good for me?
Yeah, let's talk about lard for a little while.
Lard is just one of my favorite foods because it's so comic. I mean, just the possibilities. Number one, pork is the most popular meat in the world, even though it's been shunned by two of the world's great religions. So that tells you something about pork.
But isn't it just the other white meat?
And two, well, you know, they call it pink, actually, in London, because if it's pastured, it won't be quite so white.
No, we have wild boar on our menu at Stage Left, and it's red meat.
And people look at it, they're like, I think you served me, got me the lamb chops.
I didn't
order lamb chops, I ordered wild boar.
Just eat it, and they smile, and everything's happy. But talk to us about
the fun thing about pork, and, you know, I have lard in my fridge, and I'm not a frequent baker, but mostly I use it for pie crusts and ginger snaps. And I don't expect people really to be baking with lard every day, but they should know if they like pork chops and they like salami and they like bacon and they like sausages that the fat in pork is good for you.
Mm-hmm.
It's mostly unsaturated.
Well, again, we need to talk about the fat in some pork is better for you than the fat in other porks.
That's true.
Depending on what that animal is actually eating.
Depends on what the animal's eating. And pork is amazing because it's truly an omnivore that likes local food. In the tropics, it eats coconut oil, and the fat is more saturated. But I'm a big fan of coconut oil.
Mm-hmm.
And in, you know, Spain, they eat acorns, and in Virginia, they eat apples, and upstate, they're eating apples, too. Whey-fed pork is a delicacy. So it's true. The fat profile changes in an animal depending on its diet. But on the whole, what people should know is that all the natural fats are good for them.
One of the most fascinating things that or statistics that I've read recently is how much more vitamin D you get when you eat pork that lives outside as opposed to pork that lives inside. To me, that was just one of those amazing things to learn that the sunshine that the pig gets actually gets absorbed by its body and passed on to you when you eat it.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And the same is true of all kinds of other nutrients. There's more vitamin E in grass-fed beef and dairy because there's vitamin E in grasses.
Mm-hmm. All right, so Nina, you're telling us that if we eat real foods as opposed to processed foods, that we can have cheese and lard and meat and eggs and whole milk.
And butter, things like butter.
Those,
we can't eat butter, can we?
Those things are actually better for us than having
diet
bars and diet soda and margarine. And really? It's bigger?
All these things are good for you. And the main thing, saturated fats is a big taboo for everybody. What you need to know about natural saturated fats like butter is that they raise HDL. And according to the National Cholesterol Education Program, which is the U.S. government's official voice on cholesterol, with HDL, and I quote, the higher the better.
Wow.
So they got really mixed up about 30 years ago because they fed people polyunsaturated corn oils, and then they fed them saturated fats like coconut oil or butter, and they saw that the term total cholesterol went up. Now we know that that figure is almost useless. It's
right.
a very poor predictor of heart disease. And what they want now is high HDL.
Right,
and
it's your ratio is more important than the number.
Yep. And then I also quote, we won't have time today, but some wonderful guys who call themselves cholesterol skeptics.
Actually, you know what? We're going to have to hold on a second, and we will talk about cholesterol skeptics in a couple of segments. Our guest is Nina Plank. Her wonderful book is called Real Food, What to Eat and Why. And if you want to know how to have a healthier diet, I recommend it highly. You can find out about more about it on our website, restaurantguysradio.com. You're listening to the Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:25.
The place, Brooklyn, New York, post-World War II. An Italian-American woman named Captain Lombardi cooks for her family. What's so special about that? Well, lots. Food was central back then. Good food handed down from the traditions of two countries. Food that filled the whole house with the sweet smells of garlic, tomato, and basil. No matter when you stopped by or who you were sure to be fed and fussed over. Catherine showed her love on the plate and out of the pot. Any who were lucky enough to receive it never forgot. This is Mark Pascal from the Restaurant Guys radio show and Stage Left. I've just opened Catherine Lombardi Restaurant in New Brunswick, and its mission, to live up to the standards set by Catherine Lombardi. So come by the bar, sit by the fire. Have some fresh mozzarella and antipasto. The matagut and tortelloni are amazing, and the veal chop will make you cry. Our wine list, of course, without parallel. We've got to live up to the standards set by Catherine Lombardi. You see, Catherine Lombardi was my grandmother. Come let me show you where I came from.
Catherine Lombardi Restaurant in New Brunswick, 732-296-9463 or CatherineLombardi.com. Hey, everybody, welcome back. You're listening to the Restaurant Guys, Mark and Francis, of Stage Left and Catherine Lombardi Restaurants in downtown New Brunswick. And we're having today a lovely conversation with Nina Plank. Nina's book is Real Food, What to Eat and Why. Nina has a lot of experience with real foods as opposed to processed foods and with green markets around the world, and especially right here local to us where we get a lot of our produce is at the green market in New York City. Nina, when we talk about processed foods versus real foods, I think one of the interesting things that a lot of people are coming out with is talking about how to eat broadly among real foods is better than to eat, say, skim milk and diet bars and Jenny Craig and all that stuff. And raw milk, which it's illegal to sell in New Jersey, but it's legal in Pennsylvania. Raw milk has a lot of benefits. You mentioned it briefly. What's your stand on raw milk?
Well, I grew up on it, and I drink it still, and I swear by it. And the main thing to know about processed foods is with old real foods, when they process them, like you take milk and turn it into cheese, they enhance nutrients and flavor. With industrial methods, they diminish nutrients and flavor.
Now, how does real food enhance as opposed to diminish?
Well, a good example is cold-pressed olive oil. Everybody understands it. If it's cold-pressed, you maintain the vitamin E and the antioxidants. If it's pressed under heat, you lose them. Milk is a similar example. You take raw milk, and it contains three amazing things: lipase to digest the fats, phosphatase to digest the calcium, and lactase to digest the lactose. All three of those are heat sensitive, and they're destroyed in pasteurization.
Wow.
And one of the things that I think that most people in the country don't realize is what happens to our milk when it spoils, to our pasteurized, homogenized milk when it spoils. It gets that really
sour,
rancid, sour, almost vinegar smell to it That's not real milk smells like
you spend some
when
time,
it goes bad.
You spent some time growing up on a farm. What happens to real milk when it goes sour?
You
get yogurt.
Right.
Right.
You know?
Real milk goes sour. It is a very different product than what we see in the processed milk that if you leave out on the counter for, you know, I have little kids. They leave milk out on the counter, and it gets disgusting,
you know,
in 6 hours.
The way that yogurt was originally made was milk was packed on the back of a mule in a leather sack, and by the time it went over the mountain, you had yogurt on the other side.
That's,
you know,
right.
But that doesn't happen in pasteurized milk. And if you want to go to our website, you can find Dr. Ron was a guest on our show. Dr. Ron Schmidt.
He's terrific.
And
he
talks all about raw milk, and the benefits to raw milk with those three ingredients intact is amazing. We'll be back right after the news talking more with Nina Plank. Her book is called Real Food, What to Eat and Why. You'd be surprised how you can have a lot of pleasure from your food and also have it be very healthy for you, unlike a lot of the fad diets that go on today. Back in just a moment. You're listening to the Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:30.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back. You are listening to the Restaurant Guys. I'm Mark Pascal here with Francis Schott. Together, we own Stage Left and Catherine Lombardi Restaurants in New Brunswick, New Jersey. We're here to give you the inside track on food, wine, and the finer things in life. You can listen to us every day from 11 to noon Reach us through restaurantguysradio.com or download our podcasts on iTunes.
Today our guest is Nina Plank. She has created farmers markets in London and Washington. She's the author of the Farmers Market Cookbook. She's hosted a television show in Britain on local food. She ran Green Market in New York City, the largest network of farmers markets in the U.S., where Mark and I actually source a lot of our produce. And her latest book is a great book, is Real Food, What to Eat and Why. Now, we were talking before the news, Nina, about people who are saying, you know, all these diets people have, you know, eat only grapefruit and processed nutrition bars and frozen meals from, you know,
Michigan that are sent to you.
The idea that to eat healthy, people really need to deny themselves, you know, very flavorful foods with a lot of, you know, you need to stay away from all fats and butters. And that's because of the cholesterol. But there's a growing body of research and a growing movement away from that idea that of cholesterol and heart disease being linked in the way that we think of them as linked. Do you want to talk to us about that at all?
It's a fascinating story. You know, they've been blaming cholesterol since the 1920s, really. But the cholesterol theory of heart disease, as they call it, is full of holes. And I interviewed some wonderful guys who call themselves cholesterol skeptics on this. I learned a bunch of amazing things. One is, number one, all the natural fats raise your HDL, and the higher the better. So butter, cream, the saturated fats that are in beef, they're all good for you. Another is that high cholesterol is not even associated with heart attacks in more than half the cases. Mm-hmm. So something else must be causing those problems.
Right.
Another one is that high cholesterol is not a problem for women. It's not a problem for the elderly. The higher my mother's LDL is, the happier I am, because I've seen studies that show that in the elderly, high LDL is associated with a longer life.
Now, where can people go to find that information on cholesterol skepticism?
A wonderful site called thinks.org, THINCS.org, the International, Committee of Cholesterol Skeptics, I think they call it.
Francis, sounds like an idea for another show.
Yeah, thanks for that, Nina. We'll send you a commission. Now, one of the things that we talk about, what is the culprit, and Mark and I aren't scientists, but if you look at the way the world is eaten for generations, we've seen rises in crazy diseases. While we have enough nutrition, which is extending our life,
we
see rises in all sorts of crazy diseases, and most recently, diabetes has risen to epidemic proportions among children where it never was before.
The children, diabetes, or one of the two types of diabetes, just simply didn't exist in children until recently.
And that's right. I mean, let me be clear. Americans are sick. We're fat, we're diabetic, and we're getting heart disease and cancer and autoimmune diseases like Crohn's disease and diabetes. Diabetes itself is an autoimmune disease. Arthritis, depression, infertility, all these things are on the rise. And again, I found them linked to industrial foods. They were corn syrup, trans fats, excess corn and safflower and sunflower oils, and also lack of nutrients in real foods like B vitamins in red meat or omega-3 fats in fish oil.
So,
and I think that's one of the things that Nina's hit on, and you hit on it in your book as well, is in some of our industrialized foods, when you're talking about steaks and chickens and milk and things like that, it almost seems like we're working hard to make sure a lot of those nutrients are gone out of our foods in order to kind of mass produce them.
Talk to us about meat.
That's right. They've basically degraded the food supply because it's cheaper to produce it that way, or it has a longer shelf life, as you suggested with the 7-year ho-hos. Ultra pasteurized milk is a good example. My rule of thumb is eat foods that will spoil, but eat them before they do.
The second part, very important. Talk to us about meat. Talk to us about the meat supply.
Well, what did they do? They had, a long time ago, 3 million years ago, all ruminants, all grazing cattle, were eating grass, and we were eating them. And then in the 1950s, we had artificially cheap corn and soybeans and wheat, and they said, you know, cattle fatten a lot faster on grain, and they fatten a lot faster if we can find them in a feedlot, and we feed them all day.
And sadly, they also fatten a lot faster when you give them
antibiotics and growth hormones.
And steroids, which are just like the stuff that Barry Bonds is probably taking.
And,
you know, gives you a lot of muscles, but at what cost? And the result is we get this excessively fatty meat with fats we don't even think we want.
Mm-hmm.
So less beta-carotene, less vitamin E, less CLA, which is this super muscle-building fat. in grain-fed beef than in grass-fed beef, and of course, a lot more omega-3s in grass-fed beef.
Right.
And we've done that across the whole food supply. Everything has been degraded by shortcuts.
I just
want to point out the CLAs that Nina's talking about. It is just a great fat that's available in grass-fed beef that pretty much disappears in grain-fed beef.
That's right.
Now, when we talk about making food more shelf-stable, which makes it cheaper to produce, which increases profit margins a great deal, I can see that across the board. And basically, I mean, what we're saying here is what we say on the show all the time is what we get out of your book as well, which is, you know, eat an apple. Don't eat apple crisps. You know, eat a piece of ham. Eat a piece of meat. Eat a piece of cheese. Go ahead. Don't waste it on a candy bar and Oreos and Ho-Hos because that's where you're in trouble. And don't have a McDonald's hamburger.
Nina, I want you to know I'm stealing the eat foods that spoil before they do thing. Yeah. Totally. Right now it's out there. The whole radio world knows when you hear me say it. Nina, I'm quoting Nina. But I won't be quoting you. I'll be claiming it as my own.
It's a meme. It's yours.
Now here's the deal, though. It's become now we own a pretty high end restaurants, you know, so we can afford, and our patrons can afford grass fed products, and we're able to find grass fed small animals. We're able to find nature raised pigs and lambs and all that sort of stuff. One of the things that we find very difficult is to find grass-fed beef.
I have one farmer in New York where I'm finally getting a tiny small amount of non-frozen grass-fed beef.
And it's very hard to find high-quality grass-fed beef that's not frozen. Now, you know all about markets all across the world. What do you say to people who say, yeah, I'd love to have grass-fed beef, but I don't want frozen meat because it's not very good? How do people get grass-fed beef?
Really good question. Valley Farmers are a wonderful co-op in the Hudson Valley who supply grass-fed and pastured meats to chefs. They may be interested in supplying you guys, by the way. The short answer is we need to expand all these markets and develop them further. Another answer, though, is that the higher up the food chain I eat, the more willing I am to get my food from far away if I have to.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm eating beef and butter and fish and eggs and milk and things where any toxins have concentrated as they're moving up the food chain,
mm-hmm.
I care a lot more about getting food raised with what I call ecological methods. It's cleaner mm-hmm. food. Whereas I'll always buy fruit and vegetables locally first, even if I can't get them certified organic. So I do think some people, wherever they live, may have to buy and ship, you know, wild Alaskan salmon, which I do to get wild salmon, or beef or pork.
Well,
then the question of freezing, though, you know, I'm a fan of frozen beef. I think it really, the quality is good if it's cryovac properly.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd rather eat a pastured chicken frozen in the middle of the year, in the middle of the winter here in New York, than I would a fresh bird raised in confinement.
Well, I think that you raise another issue there, which is, you know, and it's almost getting complicated to know how to eat well, because as terms like organic grow up, and what happens is, you know, a small segment of the market will push organic food and get behind organic food, which, you know, always implied also local food and supporting your local farmer.
And you spend a lot of time on this in the book.
And then, of course, that makes money, and so now big corporate agribusiness comes in and say, we're organic too, and they open some huge, you know, monstrous firm, which sort of meets the letter of the law sometimes on organic, and then they, of course, try to change the letter of the law and what organic means. But it's no longer local. How important is local food? And we only have a minute left in this segment, but we'll come back after the break. But talk to us about local food and why local is important.
The first thing I do is buy local, and I do it because local food tastes better.
Mm-hmm.
And then I go to my region, and then I go to American regions. Like, I get some very good grits from Anson Mills in the Carolinas.
Oh, we have them on our menu. They're amazing.
And then I go directly to citrus farms in Florida and California and Texas to get biodynamic citrus in January. And then I go international if I have to, and I do that for chocolate and a few things like coconut oil that I can't live without.
Hey, now, Anson Mills, by the way, makes antebellum-style grits that are unlike any grits and polenta. They also make polenta. And if you want to find out more about them, you can go to our website, or you can come into the restaurant and try them. We always have Anson Mills grits on the menu, or polenta, one or the other. We'll be talking more in just a moment about local food, about good food, about how you can eat healthfully and eat well in ways that might surprise you, full of meat and butter and cream and eggs. The book is Real Food, What to Eat and Why. Its author is Nina Plank. She'll be back with us in just a moment. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:45.
Economy Paver and Restaurant Supply Company is the oldest dealership in New Jersey. They've been equipping and supplying restaurants since 1932, and they know that to make great food, you need great equipment. You need equipment that doesn't break down, and you can't pay too much for it. Whether you need an emergency replacement or a wholesale kitchen renovation, Economy's knowledge, experience, and integrity are indispensable. Economy Paper and Restaurant Supply is a recognized dealer for all major brands, and they specialize in custom fabrication and ventilation. At Economy, they've got all the tools you need to get the job done, all in one place, all priced right, and delivered to your door. Economy is the only dealer in New Jersey that's been approved for on-site demonstrations of the Rational Combi Oven. The Rational Combi Oven is an innovative combination of convection and adjustable steam oven. It's a powerful and versatile tool in your kitchen's arsenal. They also supply competitively priced paper products and all the non-food supplies every restaurant needs. You can visit the Economy Demo Kitchen on Broad Street in Clifton, New Jersey. You can also visit economysupply.com, then call them at 973-279-5500. That's 973-279-5500.
Central Jersey Talk Radio. Central Jersey 1450. WCTC with the Restaurant Guys. Call them now at 732-545-9282. 732-545-9282.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. You're listening to the Restaurant Guys, Mark and Francis. Stage left in Catherine Lombardi Restaurants in downtown New Brunswick. Our guest today is Nina Plank. Her wonderful book is Real Food, What to Eat and Why. You can find out about it on our website, restaurantguysradio.com. Nina, now you've been involved in green markets and getting local food to people, which, you know, for a long time local farmers just didn't have a way to get local food to people, and you've been instrumental, especially in this area, in making that possible. But when people look for this real food, these real ingredients, lard and the like, is there a difference between, even in these ingredients, you know, industrially produced lard and lard produced from the local farmer? Talk to us about the difference and what people should look for.
There is a difference. Sadly, any lard isn't good lard. Most of the lard you see on the shelves has been hydrogenated, just like they hydrogenated corn oil and made it into margarine. It's full of trans fats, and it's bad for you, just like anything else. Eggs, another good example. Egg beaters, egg whites, spray-dried eggs, all of these don't contain any of the benefits of a fresh egg.
Mm-hmm. Right. Egg replacers replace none of the good stuff.
Dreadful. And they're full of what's called oxidized cholesterol. Basically, they've been spray-dried at such a high heat and under such high pressure that the cholesterol is oxidized. And guess what? Oxidized cholesterol is bad for you, but mm-hmm. the fresh cholesterol in fresh egg yolks isn't.
Here's some good news for everybody. As you would be intuitive, if you eat real food that was designed by nature for us to eat, it seems as though even if you have whole milk and, you know, good cheese and eggs and butter and olive oil, it seems like you can eat well. And if you read this book, you can find it a way. And Nina, you say you lost weight when you started eating well, and you had been a vegetarian or a vegan?
I was a vegan and a vegetarian, and then I was just dedicated to low-fat and non-fat and ate a lot of beans and rice and a lot of fruits and vegetables always, but olive oil was the only fat I ate. And when I started adding meat and fish and poultry and eggs and whole milk, the pounds just, you know, did their proverbial melting.
Mm-hmm.
Here's my final thing about real food. The more real food I eat, the simpler my diet gets, and the simpler my cooking gets, and the shorter the ingredients list. And I don't just mean on the label. I hate labels.
Uh-huh.
If it's got a label, it's already got too many ingredients. But the other thing is the supermarket. My mother taught us when we were little, eat around the edges of the supermarket.
Right.
Don't eat in the middle.
What? So tell people what you mean by that.
Around the edges is the meat, the fish, the poultry, the eggs, the dairy, the fruit, and the vegetables.
Produce, right? Mm-hmm.
And those are the real foods. And in the middle is all the processed stuff. It's more expensive, it's a hell of a lot more profitable, and it's a lot less nutritious.
You know, the thing is that the other thing about any diet that you want to be on, if it's the Atkins diet, or if it's on the low-fat diet, or the no-fat diet, or the whatever diet, you know, if you've got to read a book and keep it as a reference to go back to, then you're not going to be able to stay on it long term. It's incredibly hard to stay on the Atkins diet or the no-fat diet because it's unnatural. But you know as a human being whether something's a real piece of food or not. I mean, you look at an apple and you say, oh, yeah, apple's good. Okay, cheese is good. Milk is good. Butter's good. Pop-Tart, not so good.
I think you're absolutely right. And if people have any of those charts at home that tell them how many grams of carbohydrates are in an apple or a pear, throw them away.
Right. Eat the apple. Eat as many apples as you want to eat until you're done eating apples.
That's a recipe for neurosis.
But isn't that crazy?
And
like,
also,
oh, I can't have another apple. What's wrong with you?
And the first phase and second phase and maintenance phase and lifetime phases of all these diets?
Yeah.
You want to be eating pretty much what you want to eat every day for the rest of your life, and you don't need to be referring to things.
Well, but, you know, now this is you're not really proposing a diet from you know what we traditionally consider a diet. You're considering you're talking about a way of life and how we should go back to the foods that we are closest to. But one of the things that and why I really believe that this is catching on and will catch on and continue to gain speed is. What we're telling people and what Francis and I have been proselytizing and now, you know, your book certainly tells people is let's go back and eat foods that taste good. You know, these are the best foods.
Great taste is revolutionary, man. That's what it's all about.
These are the best foods
in
the world.
But hold on a second. Fruit Loops taste good. But it's also like when you said eat around the edge of the supermarket. You know, you instinctively know. And throw out everything you've learned about cholesterol and counting this and counting that. You know that Fruit Loops are bad for you. You know, the food industry said there's no such thing as bad food. Guess what? Fruit Loops, bad food. You know, number one ingredient, sugar. You give your kids a candy.
Number one ingredient, corn syrup.
No. Number one ingredient, and I looked at it yesterday. It happens to be, I don't know why, they went for the whole hog. But number one ingredient in Fruit Loops is sugar. Usually in most of those breakfast cereals, the number one ingredient is grain and the second ingredient is sugar. But you're giving your kids a bowl of sugar. Processed to look purple and blue and orange in colors that don't occur in nature. With a toucan, that's not a toucan on
the front. If you put processed chocolate chip cookies in a bowl and pour milk over it, you cannot call it breakfast.
Right.
Okay.
But yeah, and you know another one. I like people to know. I agree with you. Flavor on the whole, flavor is a very good guide to real foods.
It's what
everybody knows that butter tastes better than margarine.
It's what nature gave us to tell us what to eat,
Nina.
But if they do nothing else. I want people to stop putting industrial corn into their bodies in all its forms, and that would be corn oil, which is full of omega-6 fats. We didn't get to them, but we eat 20 times more than we should.
Right.
Corn syrup and corn-fed beef.
And by the way,
we should be putting corn oil in our cars, not in our bodies.
When you look at an ingredient list of anything, to try and avoid cornstarch and corn oil, very hard to do.
Michael Pollan has brilliantly explained that we are now the people made of corn. There is more corn DNA in Americans than in Mexicans, even though it's a traditional food in Latin America.
Yeah, but it's largely genetically modified corn,
right.
And it didn't come to us by eating corn.
It's all industrial corn. It's not from stopping by the side of the road in New Jersey for a dozen years of corn.
And it's not artificially cheap.
Right, and it's not by having it's not by having a tortilla either.
Hey, nope.
We're gonna take a short break. We'll be right back with Nina Plank. Her book is Real Food, What to Eat and Why, and it's surprisingly easy to eat good food, and this book says everything that Mark and I are trying to say about food for years now on the radio. Back in just a moment. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 1155. Hello, everybody, and welcome back. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys. Mark and Francis of Stage Left and Captain Lombardi Restaurants in downtown New Brunswick. Our guest today is Nina Plank. Her book is Real Food, What to Eat and Why, and it's full of surprises as to it's a diet full of really good food. It's not like all meat all the time. It doesn't say don't have any fat, but when I read this book, Nina, it says to me what you sort of instinctively know. And you should read this book because your brain out there has been polluted by lots of advertising telling you things that are good for you that aren't and telling you things that aren't good for you are.
And your brain has also been, you know, trained to be addicted to some of these foods that it shouldn't be addicted to. Even though there are foods that taste better out there in your body and you know that they taste better. Okay.
I was addicted to non-fat frozen yogurt all through my early 20s.
You know, real
and
sugar.
And now when I try it, it tastes like paint.
Yeah. Real sugar tastes better than corn syrup. If you tasted the two side by side, you'd say no contest.
Yeah. Right?
You would say no contest. But real food, what to eat and why, Nina, I'm going to rename as the food that the restaurant guys have been telling you to eat for the last year.
what Mark and Francis said.
That's what
I'm going to call it. Well, you know, do you guys, if you have children, you may remember Dr. Spock's famous line was, relax, you know more than you think you do. Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's the thing,
how I want people to feel about real food. I felt I needed to put some footnotes in this book because I want to convince the skeptics that they're not going to die of a heart attack.
You know.
But after they've read the footnotes, if they want to, I just want them to remember that what looks good and tastes good is good.
You know, and it's funny, but people need to filter out that processed food, you know, has been put in your brain that tastes really good. It doesn't taste as good as the kind of real food that we're talking about. And I want to retitle the book, Real Food, What to Eat and Why. Of course, you dummy. You know what I mean? It's like, you know. Once you read this book, you're like, oh, yeah, of course that's good and that's not good.
Apple flavoring doesn't taste as good as an apple, ever.
That's it. Hey, we have to run because the news is coming up. But, Nina, I want to thank you for writing this book, and I want to thank you for being on our show.
It was so much fun.
It was great. So the book is Real Food, What to Eat and Why. Go to our website, buy it, read it, and eat some good food. And you can have a lot of this food, including Anson Mills grits, which we'll also put up on our website, how you get those. On our website, restaurantguysradio.com. Hope you've enjoyed the hour. I'm Francis Schott.
And I'm Mark Pascoe.
We are the Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 12 noon.